A little while ago, I started looking at a topic in God's Word for my own benefit. My goal was singular. I wanted to look up one certain thing, but I spent some time looking at more general things. I'll be more specific here in a minute. But I decided to look through all the. I want to understand more about the Lord Jesus Christ and our relationship with Him and some of the things that He's responsible for. So, in order to do that, I started with Acts and went through the New Testament, looking at every reference of Jesus or Christ or Lord or him, he, any reference to him to see. And I tried to categorize those into categories of, things like relationship to the hope, relationship to when he's called Lord, when God is called Lord, when I'm not sure which one is being called Lord, and so on. So, and one area that I was looking at specifically was the responsibilities of Jesus Christ. So that's what we're going to start looking at today. This is not, I'm not going to obviously be able to share everything that I saw, but today I wanted to start off with why he has the responsibilities that he has. And we're going to go to Acts chapter 2. So it's the responsibilities of Jesus Christ, part one. And today, why he has those responsibilities. And we'll start with Acts 2, chapter 2, verse 22. It says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Verse 36. "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ." I mean, that basic understanding of that it is God who made him Lord and Christ is very important for everybody, all of us to know. And again, as we go through this, I will make references to the, the very the doctrine of the Trinity, which is very an ungodly doctrine. And if you understand how it is God who gave him this very, very exalted position, that who gave him the responsibilities that he has today, it's very simple to understand. But if you don't understand that, then it can get very confusing. And here it's very clear. It's not clear in verse 36. God is the one who made Jesus Lord and Christ. It does not say that he made him into himself. It says he made Jesus Lord and Christ. It was God's doing. In chapter 3 of Acts, we're going to go in order, make it really easy today. We're just going to go in order. You'll never have to turn backwards. Acts 3, verse 13. "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go." Who glorified Jesus? God. God is the one who glorified Jesus and gave him the exalted position that he has. In Acts chapter 4, verse 8, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, who raised himself," no, it says whom God raised from the dead. He was dead. Jesus Christ was dead. Dead is dead. No knowledge, no consciousness, no thoughts, no glory, everything gone. But God was still here. And God chose to raise him, whom God raised from the dead. Even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved." And who determined that would be the case? God. God glorified him. God raised him. God made him Lord in Christ. And God said, "His name is the name that you must confess if you want to come to me." Right? In Acts 5, it's very important for us to know these verses and understand Acts 5, verse 29. "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus,'" there it is again, "'whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey him.'" All three of them mentioned here, isn't it? This is the accurate understanding of all three. God raised his son from the dead, and he gave the Holy Spirit to those that obey him. It couldn't be any simpler, could it? A couple of verses, God explains it. God raised him from the dead. God exalted him and made him to be a prince and a savior. God put him on his right hand. In Acts chapter 10. Verse 34. And again, we're looking at this to understand that why it is that he has the responsibilities that he has, that we'll be looking at in the next parts, right? First, we're just going to look at why he would have these responsibilities in the first place. Acts 10:34. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all.'" Who made Jesus Christ Lord of all? God did. God said he is going to be Lord. I am making him Lord. He's the Lord to us in this administration. That was God's doing. In Romans chapter 1. It's nice just to let the Word of God do the talking and let it just speak for itself on behalf of what God did to the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh." He had a fleshly lineage. He was a man. That's what it says. "And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." He was declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. And who raised him from the dead? God. God made him Lord in Christ. He made him Lord of all, Prince and a Savior, exalted to his right hand. God did that for the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Pretty hard to have raised him from the dead if he was trying to raise himself and he was dead and he had no knowledge, no consciousness, no nothing. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 25. "For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet." For the he and the his need to be very, very clear here. "For he, God, hath put all things under his," Jesus Christ's, "feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifested that he, God, is accepted, which did put all things under him," Jesus Christ. The only thing that is not under, will not be under Jesus Christ is who? God. makes sense. He's his father. God is the one who exalted him and made him Lord. But when all this is said and done, God is accepted. He is not going to be under Jesus Christ. That's not how it works. Verse 28, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, God, that put all things under him, Jesus Christ, that God may be all in all. Jesus Christ is always, and if you look through the New Testament, he is always subservient and subject to God. It's time and time, and if you read, you know, the book of Revelation, very, very clear. You know, many records where you see, you know, there's one record I think of where, you know, God showed to John, he says, there's a book that they needed to get open. Remember the book they needed to open? And they said they couldn't find anybody in heaven to open the book. And then the angel said, and John started crying. And the angel said, don't weep, it's okay. The lion of the tribe of Judah can open the book. So he goes over and gets the book from the one who was in the throne, who was God, and the lion opened the tribe of Judah. And we explain that. You know, time and time again, you see that Jesus Christ is subject, subservient to God, his Father, which makes perfect and logical sense in Ephesians chapter 1. But then again, the doctrines and edicts of man made by ecumenical councils over thousands of years have no place in logic. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he, God, might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. That's God's desire to gather all things in Jesus Christ. Verse 19, and he, went ahead of myself. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he, God, wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies. God is the one who wrought the power in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand. God is the one who gave him the power. God is the one who exalted him. It's God's doing. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Not only in this age, but in the age which is coming. So everything happened here has bearing in the one that's coming. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Verse 10, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. That was God's desire, that Jesus Christ would fill all things. It was his desire that all things would consummate in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 2. It's nice just to read the word, isn't it? Just to see what it says about him. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, there it is again, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. If you say Jesus Christ is God, that does not glorify the Father. When you say he is whom God has made him to be, Lord, in this administration, that glorifies God the Father. The other one takes God out of the place which he rightly has, which is God, the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. You don't put Jesus Christ there. But when you say that Jesus is Lord, that brings glory to God. It's awesome. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. And this is that difficult section, but we'll just read it through, and we won't get into too much detail here. If you're interested in more detail, I taught this on September 16th, 2018, in detail, but we won't go into it in detail. I just want to read it to you. Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, and the word by is the problem, for in him, it should not be by, for in him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created in him and for him. And if you remember when we looked at that before, the things mentioned here, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, nothing to do with the original creation in Genesis chapter 1. This is not talking about Genesis chapter 1. This is talking about the authority structures that were set up in Jesus Christ when God raised him from the dead and set up that whole authority structure, which is going to be filled as time proceeds on into the next administration. And again, if you want to look at that in more detail, September 16, 2018, we looked at. And he, verse 17, is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Preeminence in all things, why? For it pleased who? The Father. That in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. Pretty consistent with every other verse we've read, isn't it? That God chose Jesus Christ to be the one in whom all things, all power, all authority will consummate in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, for in him, there it is again, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He triumphed over all the principalities and powers by his work. You see why Jesus Christ now has certain responsibilities? You see how God is the one who put him there? God raised him. God marked him out. God said he's Lord. And when you say that, you glorify God. God is the one who made him a prince and a savior. That's why Jesus Christ has a lot of responsibility. You know, that's why sometimes people think that he is God. Because next to God, it's Jesus Christ. And God is the one who gave him all that responsibility, which I think is abundantly clear from the scriptures. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4. Verse 14. Where are we? in the wrong place. I'm in the wrong verse. Just a second here. It's probably 2 Timothy. Nope. Sometimes I'm back one chapter. Yeah, there it is. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let's try that one. Verse 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And this is another problem verse where we know the word God here is the word which. Is the mystery of godliness, which was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And if you want more information on that particular verse, I have some documentation. This was written by Sir Isaac Newton, of all people, that explains how that word went from which to the word God through corruption of Scripture over time. In Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Okay. God, who at sundry times, verse 1, chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Who appointed him heir of all things? God. God appointed Jesus heir of all things. By whom he hath made the word, ages is the word, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. God is the one who made him heir of all things. Here he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, all under God's guidance, God's direction, God's choice, God's plan. God is the one who put him there. So you can see how, you know, when people talk about Jesus, oh, he's God, he does everything. You can see why they think that. But when you read it very, very clearly, is he God? No. Does he have God's? Is he the majesty on high? Is he the Almighty? No. He's the Son of God. God is the one who gave him the authority and the position and exalted him. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Remember, that was David, right? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over all the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Who put all things under him? God did. And he says that we don't see all things put under him yet. Why? Because we read in Corinthians, there's a day coming when that will be the case, and the only one that won't be under him is who? God. Right? That put things all under him. So it's slowly heading towards that. Everything will consummate in the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Ephesians. It's God's desire. All things in heaven and earth are going to be all come together in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the thrones, dominions, authorities, and power structure that exists in the heavenlies has been worked out with the work of Jesus Christ. And how those authority structures and how those responsibilities and all those things are fulfilled in the future is where this is all going. That's why he's not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. God's setting up for what is going to be happening in future administrations by the work of Jesus Christ. It's a pretty massive deal for us to understand. In Hebrews chapter 7, Verse 24. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, talking about Jesus Christ. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's, for this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Now of those things, chapter 8, verse 1, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Right? God made him the high priest. God seated him at his right hand, the majesty in the heavens. And he is consecrated to be that forevermore. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 21. The like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Again, truth repeated time and time and time again through the New Testament. All angels, powers, authorities made subject unto Jesus Christ by God. You see why he has the authority he has? You don't get this kind of position and then not have an authority over that. Why he has a responsibility? And in that position that he has very clear responsibilities where God has put him. And we'll look at those next time. We'll close in Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called The Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. On whose behalf was he doing this? On behalf of the Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God is the one who has given him that responsibility to do this, and in that responsibility, God made him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Right? But he was carrying out this responsibility, even in the book of Revelation, on the behalf of his Father God. Right? So, you know, it's very clear, very important for us to keep this straight when we're considering the position that Jesus Christ has. God is the one who had given him all the authority, made him Lord in Christ, glorified him, the cornerstone. God exalted him, Lord of all, declared to be Son of God, all things under him, ascended up on high. God gave him that position. In him, all thrones, dominions, authorities, all those structure is set up in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the fullness of the Godhead, head of principality and power, seated at the right hand of God, heir of all things put under his feet, higher than the heavens, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and all things being made subject unto him. And we'll start from there next time to take a look at, now in that exalted position that God has given him, what are the responsibilities that he has, right? And we'll continue there next time.